podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking about alphabets and also reading you a couple of pieces based on alphabets. How did you learn the alphabet? Did you sing it? Did you learn it with example words for each letter? And when you learned a foreign language, how did you learn that alphabet? Does the English ABC trip off your tongue, or do you hesitate before vowels like A and E or consonants like J, G, I and Y? I learned my alphabet as a song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, etc. It's a nice way of doing it. The only thing was that Mr. Macklin, my primary school teacher, insisted we introduce a boom boom after M before going into the second half. And so even today, if I have cause to go through the alphabet in my head, I can't do it without adding the boom boom. I'll admit I've been lazy about mastering the alphabet in Spanish, though I've got it now. It has very practical uses as well. Try doing an eye test in a foreign language. You run the risk of a faulty prescription based on your pronunciation. The longest alphabet in the world is the Khmer, the Cambodian. It contains 74 letters. Quite a lot of boom-booms in there. The longest European alphabet is the Latin-derived Slovak alphabet, which has 46. So, in the case of the English alphabet, we're obviously getting off pretty lightly. Alphabets have also inspired verse and rhyme. The following is a nonsense refrain, sometimes called the Cockney alphabet. It begins with A for horses. Well, there are two things to look at here. The first is the dropped H, which is a sound very typical of London and Southern English accents. So hay, the thing horses eat, becomes A, like the letter. Horses actually becomes horses. The second thing to notice is the weak form of for, which, as you'll know, is in spoken English, very often has a f sound or variants of that. And this is used throughout the text, because what the alphabet refrain does here, the Cockney alphabet, is plays jokes, wordplay, by giving words that are supposed to be examples of the letters, but in fact, like A for horses, hay for horses, are actually a bit of a joke. So here's the rest of the alphabet. Well, I'll start with the first one, with A anyway, and see how many of these you can interpret or understand the joke in. A for horses, B for mutton, C for miles, D for dumb, E for brick, F for essence, G for police, H for consent, I for novello, J for oranges, K for restaurant, L for leather, M for sis, M for lope, O for the garden wall, P for relief, Q for a P, R for mo, IS for you, T for two, U for mism, V for La France, W for a bob, X for breakfast, E for God's sake, Z for breezes. So, just going back to the earlier ones here, we had B for mutton. This is beef or mutton, so the two choices of meat. C for miles, with a relating division. D for dumb, deaf or dumb. E for brick, kind of expression, a London expression, but it's to throw, to heave, to throw a brick. One of my favourites, effervescence. So the F for vescence becomes the word effervescence. G for police was chief of police. and age for consent, the age for consent. Ivor Novello, the artist. Maybe a little bit obscure, the next one for many people. Jaffa Oranges, a type of brand of oranges you can buy in the UK. K for restaurant. Well, actually, this one had me puzzled when I first heard this poem. And it's because I was trying to make a single word of it. And then I realized that there was a time in the, probably about the 1960s, maybe a little bit earlier, when it was a bit of wordplay, pronunciation, was to pronounce cafe as cafe, a little linguistic pronunciation joke, because, as you'll probably be aware, the E on English nouns is generally unsounded, English words is generally unsounded, unless it's a borrowing or a loan word. So in a word like cliché, the E is sounded, and café, it's also sounded. And in some cases, of course, when we also, you double the E in words like employee or interviewee. So if you were looking at the word café and pronouncing it with a pretty strict English accent, it would actually sound like cafe. So the bit of a joke here is cafe or restaurant, which we're going to go to. We're going to go to a cafe, we're going to go to a restaurant. L for leather, which is like to go hell for leather, is to go really fast or to attack something highly energetically. Emphasis, a nice one like effervescence, forming a single word, as is the next one, envelope. Over the garden wall, which is a phrase from a song. Two lavatorial examples, P for relief and Q for a P. R becomes R for mo, another expression meaning wait a minute. No, R for mo, half a moment, literally contracted to this R for mo, meaning please wait a second or I'll be there very soon. S for you, S for you, it's for you. T for two, euphemism. I think it's great, the next one. Vive la France. W for a bob is a kind of gambling expression or a betting term relating to taking a risk or a financial, increasing a bet. X for breakfast. And Y for God's sake, another kind of expression of exasperation. And Zephyr breeze is really the west wind. And the final one is a slightly more obscure. I think it's a lovely example of wordplay, sound play, and it's memorable in its own way. Maybe not the best way of learning the alphabet, but it does create a rather nice refrain. Alphabets can be used far more seriously, though, and I'm thinking in particular of a poem which is actually a sonnet written by Julia Alvarez, or Alvarez, the American poet. A very skillful, evocative poet whose work it often takes a politicized angle or perspective. And this particular sonnet is called "Let's Make a Modern Primer for Our Kids." And what she does with it is very evocatively use names of places, countries associated with atrocities in fairly recent history, and use these as a way of constructing a poem that sadly highlights the range of these atrocities, given the fact that we can find a letter for each, a name for each letter of the alphabet. Let's make a modern primer for our kids. Let's make a modern primer for our kids. A is for Auschwitz, B for Biafra, Chile, Dachau, El Salvador. F is the Falklands, Grenada, Hiroshima stands for H. Northern Ireland for I. J is for Jonestown, K for Korea, L for massacres, in Lidice, Milay, N, Nicaragua, O, Okinawa, P is in the Persian Gulf, and Qatar, Q, Rwanda, Sarajevo, this year's hell. T is Treblinka and Uganda, U, Vietnam and Wounded Knee, what's left to spell? An X to name the countless disappeared when they are dust in Yemen or Zaire. Well, thank you very much. These have been some thoughts on alphabets and pieces of writing inspired by alphabets, and I hope you found these interesting.